I was born.
The new Big Bertha family from Keller Lake Golf. Engineered for distance, any way you swing it. Essendon, Havel and Great Wall. Sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Well, great to have you with us today on this Friday, September 11. We've got Dougie Hawkins going to have it join us for a bit of a laugh. Matty Johns as well, the newest recruit to SEN. But right now, the conversation starter is for Kia with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. We're going to talk about last night's game and have a look at Geelong and Richmond. But Tom Morris is just reporting on foxfooty.com.au an exclusive story. Giants make ruthless call to drop $7 million skipper. Amid finals dogfight, Fox Footy can reveal Stephen Canelio has been sensationally omitted from the team to face Melbourne on Saturday night. He's 15 games into a heavily back-ended seven-year contract worth close to $7 million across its duration. Wow, Wispy, that's a statement from Leon Cameron.
Is that a statement or what? That's explosive, that. And that is certainly going to... If he wants a reaction and he wants to shake up his team, that's going to do it for sure. Champion data analysis. This is part of the article here, just as a indication of how poorly he's been performing, Canelio. Of a total of 76 midfielders who've played five or more games this season, Canelio ranks 64th. Wow. 64th among them, averaging whatever... points per game. He spent, against Adelaide last weekend too, this has been reported by Tom this morning, he spent 38% of the match forward, his second most for the year, while Canelio, Toby Green spent 38% of the game in the midfield. Canelio's kicking efficiency is the worst of his career. So, and the other part of his game that's dropped right away too, he's not hitting the scoreboard like he was at 1.2. So you don't... That's not just a wake up in the morning and reaction to somebody and what they can't do. That's something that you've been thinking about as a coaching staff for some period of time. So, gee, that is massive news. Yeah. Consider your captain, your leader. Right now, what do they need? GWS.
Leadership.
Exactly. You've got Phil Davis sitting on the sidelines. He's not going to come back this year. One of their best leaders. He's out of the action. And now you've got your skipper. You're going to drop your skipper in what is a super important game too.
So, I mean, the GWS Giants, we know what they don't have the passion quite yet. I'm sorry, I don't take that away from their supporters. But if this was a Collingwood or Essendon or a Carlton, this would just blow up there. You've recommitted to... I thought Stephen Canelio was one of the best young leaders. Well, he still is probably, but that doesn't make you immune from a form slump. And if you're in a form slump, then sometimes you pay the price. I wonder what it'll do to this team. I tell you what it does. It'll sharpen everyone else up. When it's from the top down, when your leader is dropped, then does it sharpen everyone else from the top down? So...
Good move, do you think, to do that so close to the end of a season and a possible finals campaign?
It's a really gutsy, brave news. And the bottom line is, Wisp, it'll all depend on what happens in the next 2 weeks. That's why it's gutsy and brave. I would back. Yeah, Leon Cameron and his group know that group. Yeah, team and how they've been playing much better than we do, and what he asks of his players much better than anyone else in the footy world would do. So if that's what he sees, good on him for having the courage to do it. And let's see what sort of response they get. Now, I tell you what, there's players like Jeremy Cameron now. They'd be sitting up and taking notice of that because his form's been down and poor, and so no one is assured of a game in the GWS Giants team right now. So 7 years he's recommitted to at around $7 million is the report. But that doesn't make you got to still deliver. Otherwise, you're not guaranteed a spot. So there you go. That is a big, big story from Tom Morris this morning.
It's extraordinary to me that he can't have worked his way through that and worked his way out of that slump, though.
He's been down for a while, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. He hasn't been able to work his way through it. We're talking about an experienced player. We're not talking, you know, young kids come into this game and they can have a form slump, and because they don't have the maturity and they don't have the experience, they're unable to work their way through it. But he, being a player that has been around a long time and hasn't been able to then put the pieces together for himself to be able to find that confidence. And that's what happens when you lose form and you go into a slump. You lose confidence too. But generally, because you have that experience and you've got that knowledge and understanding, you're able to pull yourself out of it over a period of time and you say, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to go back to these basic things that have made me a great player. And then I'll work on those. And then I'll worry about the consequences of all those things later. And that will build my game. I'll start to get the ball. I'll start to kick goals. I'll start to find myself in the right positions. But clearly, he hasn't been able to do that. And Leon spoke really, really strongly and powerfully at the weekend post the game about how let down he was by his midfield at the weekend. And what better way to put him on notice as he's done now, and that is drop your leader.
I'm a GWS supporter and passionate. Canelio is lame, and it's a good move to drop him. There you go. Stephen Canelio comes across as a manufactured leader, not born leader. I don't agree with that, although he was pretty strong. You know how he was being heavily courted last year, late last year.
Yep.
There was a lot of people into him. And I don't know whether it's... I don't know how this all played out, but the captaincy was something that he was said to be really keen on, and in the end, ultimately, it would have been offered as part of the package to keep him stay. Now, they were going to move on from their captains anyway. Phil Davis had done a great job in establishing this footy club, but they were looking to move on. So, yeah, he wasn't shying. He thought that he, you know, it was very much that captain and wanted to lead this footy club. So we will watch and see how this plays out through the course of the day. But that is the big story this morning. Tommy Morris is reporting. Let's talk about last night. West Coast
quickly on one point you made there before about Jeremy Cameron. He would need to be on notice too. Mm. I would hope that there is somebody there in their organisation, in their coaching staff, that has had a word to him about the way that not just he's playing, but the body language that he's displaying too as a senior player out there on the ground.
Yeah, that's fair. And we've commented on that a fair bit, haven't we, about the fact that he doesn't look overly invested. Now, that's looking from the television set, which is one of the problems we've got this year, because we can't go and watch the whole game, but that's what it appears at the moment.
Okay, now let's talk about last night, okay? Now, we haven't had many angry St Kilda fans sending texts through, although one bloke did say that, what did he say? He's going to get the St Kilda Football Club to be his pallbearers so that they can let him down one more time. Now, they did let their fans down again last night. That was set up for them, given the injuries that West Coast had last night. That was going to be their best opportunity. The rain came. I think that helped them at the right time of the game. Jeremy McGovern went off with a hamstring, so they had to reshuffle their defence. When you look at that game, Gary, there was, like, for me, it was like, yeah, you can sort of break down the way the game was played, but then you might just simplify it and say the best players for the West Coast Eagles, their most experienced players, stood up most when it mattered most in that game. And the other guys that had been assigned peripheral roles in that team, and you had a young kid by the name of Ainsworth playing on Jones, he did a really good job on him. They did what the coach asked them to do, and that enabled them to get over the line.
100%. When it was on the line, St Kilda got themselves in front, by the way. They'd kicked three goals themselves in a row, I think, to get themselves in front. And then it looked a bit grim. And this is what it's about. This is where reputations are forged. They're not forged in games that you win by 48 points and you kick five goals or six goals and 38 possessions. They're forged when it's on the line, backs to the wall, greasy conditions, finals defining, top four, top eight. That's when reputations are forged. So out of last night, Kelly enhances his reputation, goes through the roof. Liam Ryan enhances the reputation, goes through the roof. Nat Nui doesn't need to enhance it, but did, because it was his performance in the last quarter, and Paddy Ryder was great, by the way, but you just saw Nat Nui say, nah, not on my watch, and just willed himself. So they got it done and St Kilda didn't. So Jack Steele, yep, I think he enhanced his reputation when it needed to, you know, 10 possessions in the last quarter, pushed himself to near exhaustion. But there are others that are still in that process, and that's probably where St Kilda are at. West Coast's reputation is they've got a premiership in the last 3 years. They're going to be contesting and competing again for a top four spot, and we think, although injuries may make it hard now, St Kilda aren't there yet, West, which is okay, because making finals would be a step forward, but they have still got some ground to make.
They have. I think they've got a long way. Like, you can get to where they are now and you're around the mark, you know, for a finals finish, and that's okay. But that next step is a really big step. From going to a final eight side to real contender, there's a big leap that they still have to make. And some of those players have to obviously develop into players that can handle a game. When it shifts, you know, when the game and the momentum shifts slightly and you've got to just hang in there as a group and you've got to rely on your game plan and you've got to adhere to all the disciplines that you've imposed as a group, those things become really, really important. And that's what the West Coast Eagles did really well last night throughout that game when they lost a little bit of grip on the game. Still able to hang in there as a group, and Barras was just outstanding last night, particularly in that third quarter. He lost his big mate McGovern, but he really stood up. And the other thing is, you know, I thought at one stage, where the hell is Butler? And then I realised it was Shepherd. That he just doesn't ever lower his colours to anyone.
He put Butler into the flock. He's got a flock, the Shepherd, and some big names in it, and he added Butler to the flock. They kept kicking it back to Brass. I'll tell you, Andrew Gaff, I'm going to get to Nathan, who's on the line. Andrew Gaff, he has, like, people sort of don't talk about him as a senior, you know, as a superstar of the Coppies, and he's an accumulator out on the wing, and he does all the nice stuff and gets a lot of footy, but maybe doesn't hurt you enough. With the absence of their big, you know, Shuey, Redden, and Yo, he's had to go inside the last couple of weeks. He's had 33 as an inside midfielder last night. He had 22 in the second half. It shouldn't be lost on anyone that he's been able to go from the outside to the inside. Nathan's in Craigieburn. G'day, Nath.
Hey, good morning, Gary and Jim.
G'day, mate.
So I think we just came back to what we said yesterday about Carlisle, I guess.
Yes, was that you that rang about Jake Carlisle yesterday?
Yep. Oscar Allen and Darling put the game by its throat.
In the second quarter. You made a good point. I wasn't thinking of you, but I was thinking of the call. I couldn't quite remember because there were times when Caulfield was playing on Darling and I was looking at that matchup thinking, gee, I'm worried about that early in the piece. And then Oscar Allen, you know, also with Geary late in the game. So I think it's a good point. So we probably need to hear, I don't know whether Brett Ratton has spoken publicly about the fact that Carlisle was not played on the weekend, but I reckon it might have, although the wet, slippery conditions may have played into their thinking, but in the end, Caulfield wasn't the right matchup for Darling.
No. And Gary, look, thanks for your call, Nathan. When you're watching a game like that and you're looking at those players that are having the most influence on the game, and Tim Kelly, particularly in that second quarter, he was just dominating. Seb Ross went to him. I don't think it was a real hard tag, but he just wasn't getting the message about what he needed to do to restrict Kelly at any stage. I thought then, and I know you and I were texting each other during the game, that was the time when you've got to be able to say to somebody like a Jack Steele, okay, we need to shift you away from your assignment. We know that you've become one of our better midfielders in this area, but you're also probably still our best run-with stopper type bloke that can really physically hand somebody that's got off the leash as a midfielder. And I think they lost the opportunity to do that in that second quarter when Kelly just completely dominated around the contest.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It is a good point. So that's where the Saints are at. They're inside the eight. That's where you want to be, but they're behind these top four sides, top five sides, and they're learning. They're still making their way. They've got to get there this year. They've got to play finals. Once you're in there, anything could happen, of course, but they were given a bit of a lesson in what needs to be done when the real heat came on last night, and they came up just a touch short, which would be disappointing for St Kilda fans, but I think they've taken some steps forward and there's still footy to be played. We'll take a break. There's some other big footy issues kicking around at the moment. Just repeating that news. Broken by Tom Morris on Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. It'll be picked up by all the other newspapers. I wonder if they'll give some attribution, which is not always their strong suit, but they should.
They will. I'm sure they will, Garrett. And I'm going to ask you a question.
Just let me say, the news is Stephen Cornelio has been dropped as the captain of the GWS Giants, according to Tom Morris.
That's true. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about the Cats eyeing off Jack Viney too. Lo and behold, what the hell's going on there?
Kia offers value you can trust, Australia's best 7-year warranty across the entire Kia range. Doug Hawkins to join us and Matty Johns as well. Lots of stuff kicking around this morning, just repeating that news as reported. in the on Fox Sports News by Tom Morris that Stephen Cornelio is to be dropped for this weekend, the new captain after only 15 games in the job. Wispy, over to you.
Well, it's been reported too, Gary, and there's going to be a lot of reports around now because it does become that silly season when there's speculation about who's staying and who's going and who's been offered a contract and who hasn't. And we pick up the paper, we read about Majacek as well, the fact that he's been offered a contract, but it's nowhere near what he is after. And then that adds speculation about who might be after him. But let's just talk about Jack Viney and the fact that Geelong are apparently eyeing off Jack Viney. They would love to add him to their midfield. They know that Joel Selwood maybe plays on again next year, but who would think he'd play much past that? They need somebody that can play that inside type role. They know how physical that he's been over the years. They know how physical Jack Viney is. He would seem to me to be the perfect replacement for somebody like a Joel Selwood. What's your reaction to that?
So that's reported by Jay Clark in the Herald Sun, who we do attribute because he attributes back. So my reaction to that's why Geelong have been and will remain one of the best teams in the competition. And that's why they remain up near the top and haven't at the bottom out, because they've got a magnificent list manager and recruiting team that identify talent, identify need and where the holes are in their list, and they go out and chase. So it's exactly what clubs should be doing. If you're in Geelong's position, as you said, with Joel, who knows how much longer he's got, but whether it's Jack or whether it's Brad Crouch, they're thinking about the replacement. They're not going to get to a situation where they go, oh, Joel's retired, now who are we going to replace him with? They think two, three, four steps ahead. So good on them. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, there's two things about this. One is whether or not they can attract him and convince him. And the other is whether or not he would want to go. Now, I know he was really upset when the leadership was taken off him, when the captaincy was taken off him. And I believed the discussions that I heard around that time that he would have left the club had he been able to at that time. So
I don't think that's right.
Well, I do. Well, you can think that, but I think
there was an emotional reaction, but I don't think he's wanted to leave. That's
well, that I think if he had been able to at that time, Gary, and I don't say this lightly, I think he would have. And it was an emotional reaction at that time, okay? And there were people that I know that had been talking to him from South Australia, all that sort of stuff. I know that for a fact. I just wonder whether or not that's still in the back of his mind. And given the season that Melbourne have sort of had, and he'd be looking at maybe, well, I don't know whether these guys appreciate me as much as what they should. Do you think that might come into his thinking as well?
I can't. I don't know what's going through his mind, but I know he's appreciated, loved, wanted and respected. And I'd be shattered if he left from a Melbourne point of view. And I'm hoping they're doing everything they can to keep him. So, my thoughts on it. I think you've got to have a midfield group of about eight that run through. I mean, there has been discussion, and I thought about it long and hard too, whether there's the sameness about this midfield. And there is some truth to that, but rather than just get rid of some, try and add to it without losing someone of the quality of Jack. So the latest conversations I've had is that he's been fantastic this year, and he's moved on and moved past it, and the disappointment was real, but he moved past the captaincy. He's the vice captain of the footy club. He's led the club superbly when he's had to do that in the absence of Big Maxi. So I'm hoping he stays as a Melbourne footy club player. I understand what Geelong are doing, if that's in fact, as Jay Clark's reporting, that's what they're doing. I understand it, as I said, but I don't think you give up on players like that.
Could you move forward without him and improve your team in some way? By Geelong obviously have got some early draft picks and all sorts of things that they could...
They don't need to. He's a free agent. So
is he a free agent or a restricted free agent?
No, he's a free agent.
Well, if he's a free agent, okay, well, that is completely different then.
So they get some compensation.
I thought that he was restricted.
They get some compensation, so you'd have to go back to the draft or you need to work with it. But they're hard to find, Tim. Those blokes are hard, heart and soul players. Oh. This is a guy who, okay, he hacks the footy a little bit and he's not as clean and not as pure, but I talk often about knowing what you're going to get with players, which is the number one quality for me. When you're trying to put a team together, know what you're going to get, and you know what you're going to get with him every time. You know, it's heart, it's soul, it's commitment, it's body on the line, it's ferocious competitiveness, it's a refusal to concede, and you know also you're getting someone who's not as polished by foot, who's not going to set you up. So you understand exactly where you're at with Jack Viney, and you don't let those players go, in my opinion.
But no, I agree with you 100%. And he is a rare talent in as much as not so much the skill side of it. He's a rare competitor in this game.
Yep.
I think probably he's in the top five players in terms of that part of his game in the competition. So you're quite right. But he will attract interest from other clubs because everybody is looking for somebody that plays
But see, every club, this is what I think every club would do or should do if they're any good, is absolutely rip the heart out of the free agency list because you get a free crack at someone. You don't have to give up anything for a free agent, Wisp. So it's the greatest free hit of all time. And if you can, if you can find someone that is willing to leave, it's just absolute gold. That's the greatest recruiting advantage of all if it's the right player, a free agent.
So, and who wouldn't want to go to a great club where they believe that they're going to have success week in, week out? And Geelong have proven to be that.
I'm hoping someone whose dad was a massive part of the club, who captained it, who he's captained it, and who's got some red and blue through his veins. That's what I'm hoping there.
Yeah. Would you hold it against him if he left, though?
I don't hold anything against anyone, Wisp.
What about this? How bloody amazing are the Eagles? I've been sooking the past eight matches that injuries have crippled the Bombers. Then you see that performance last night and you finally see the light. That's from Don in Seaford. And that's how we measure teams, don't we? That's how we measure our teams. We say, okay, yeah, we've got injuries to, you've talked about Melbourne, I've talked about Essendon. We've got injuries, but hang on a minute. That doesn't mean to say that you can't still go out there and compete and be a really competitive team. And that's exactly what the West Coast Eagles were able to do last night. Just on that, though, if you look at their injury list now, Gary, gee, it's going to be a hard road for them to get anywhere near the flag this year.
Oh, is it ever? And look, Adam Simpson we love, and you see him in the coach's box. Really, does he show any emotion? When that siren sounded last night, there was some genuine and heartfelt emotion because he knew that that was one of the great gutsy come-from-behind victories of the year. So they're there. They're going to be dangerous, but it's going to be hard work, that's for sure. As has been pointed out to me from the Temper text, Doug Corkins is going to join us shortly to talk about Wisp's story from yesterday. Caller of the year can win a brand new Toyota Kaluga GX two-wheel drive. Own a Toyota. Down the My Toyota app today.